Once again, welcome to the throngs of you who share this hour on radio. This is the First Baptist Church in Dallas, and this is the pastor bringing the message entitled The Infallible 40 Days. Out of the passage you just read, Dr. Luke writes, "The former treatise have I made." That's the Gospel of Luke, O Theophilus, a Roman patron, of all that Jesus began, he's still working. The Lord is still omnipotent. Of all that he began to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Spirit, he'd given commandments unto the apostles, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his suffering and death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 40 days, the infallible 40 days. Oftentimes in Scripture is that period of time set apart, set aside, to present some mighty cataclysmic act of Almighty God. In the days of Noah, it rained 40 days and 40 nights. God punctured the canopy that covered the earth. It was as tropical at the north and south poles as it was in the Congo of Africa. The earth had been watered by the dew. And when God punctured that canopy, it fell to the earth. First time the world had ever seen rain. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights. When Moses ascended Mount Sinai and received the law from the hand of God, he communed face to face with Jehovah Lord 40 days. When Jonah was sent to Nineveh, he entered the city and cried, saying, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed, the capital of the Assyrian Empire." And when the Lord was tried and tempted by the devil, he was in the wilderness with his arch adversary Satan 40 days. But out of all of the periods in the Bible, none is so meaningful as these 40 days that presented in infallible proofs the resurrection of our living Lord. These 40 infallible days. First, they gave to us our crucified Savior, now raised and risen from the dead. From the place where our Lord was born to the place where he was crucified in the proud city, there is a distance of less than 6 miles. From Christmas to Easter, from the manger to the tomb, from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, no further than White Rock Lake to our First Baptist Church here in Dallas. There in Bethlehem, in the little village of David, God gave to the earth the preciousest and sweetest and divinest heavenly gift mankind has ever received. With angel love and songs, did God bestow upon us His only begotten Son. And there in Jerusalem, on the point of a Roman spear and nailed to a cross, mankind handed back God's heavenly gift to the Lord. But God is merciful to the uttermost. He raised the crucified Lord Jesus from the dead and gave him back to us. And that second blessing we call Easter. And that's why on this Lord's Day throughout Christendom, we praise God's name for his wonderful gift of love and salvation to us. Thus did the 40 days bring to us the risen, resurrected, glorified, triumphant Lord Jesus. Number two, the infallible 40 days. They turn defeat into victory. The tragedy of the cross and the silence of the tomb. Those Pharisees and scribes who had marched up and down in front of him as he suffered and died, they now said to one another, "He is dead. He is dead." The soldiers who crucified him said, "He is dead." And thus, to ensure his demise, one of them took his spear and thrust it into his heart. "He is dead." And the Roman centurion who presided over the execution made his official pronouncement to the Roman procurator. "He is dead." And his sweet and precious mother, with many tears and broken heart, taken to the home of John, bowed her head and cried, "He is dead." And the disciples, 11 of them, crawling into 11 shadows. Every hope they'd ever entertained for the kingdom of God, bowed in despair and cried, saying, "He is dead. He is dead." Then an electric and glorifying announcement. Mary Magdalene runs to Peter and John saying, "He's not there. He's gone." And Peter and John running to the tomb, look inside. "He is gone. He is gone." Then the women announce to the apostles, "We have seen him. He's alive. He's alive." And Cleopas and his friend on the way to Emmaus return to Jerusalem saying, "We have seen him. He's alive. He's alive." And in the upper room, 10 of the apostles, "He suddenly appeared. He's alive." And the next Sunday evening to the 11 apostles, "He appeared again. He's alive. He's alive." And as they were fishing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, suddenly he is there. He's alive. He's alive. And on a mountain in Galilee and in Bethany and at his ascension, he lifted his hands in blessing and was hid out of their sight. He's alive. He's alive. And in the years continuing since, he appeared to his half-brother James. He appeared to Stephen, God's first Christian martyr. And he appeared to the Apostle Paul. And he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. He's alive. He's alive. One of the most dramatic stories I have ever heard in our dear church, in the days of the great pastor, Dr. Truett. On a hunting trip, he accidentally shot and killed J.C. Arnold, the chief of police of the city of Dallas. So devastating was the horror of the experience, the great pastor said in his heart, "I'll never stand here again. I'll never preach again." But in the despair of that awesome week, The Lord Jesus appeared to him. Thrice. The Lord Jesus appeared to him and said, "Be of good courage. From now on, you're my preacher. You're my man." He's alive. He's alive. He can hear us as we pray. He can stand by us in the day of our need. And He'll open for us the gates of heaven. He's alive. He's alive. And last, those 40 days brought to us a delineation and a definition of our life that is yet to come. As Paul writes in 2 Timothy 1:10, he not only conquered death, but he brought life to immortality and to life. You see, it was the same Jesus, the same Lord, who was raised from the dead as the Lord who lived in the days of His flesh. It was the same Jesus. Death did not change Him, and the resurrection did not remove Him. It is the same Lord Jesus. Mary Magdalene recognized Him by the way that He pronounced her name. There was an inflection to the voice of our Lord, unlike any other. And she recognized Him by the inflection in calling her name. The Apostle John, when he ran into that tomb, saw the napkin folded and placed by itself. And he recognized the living Lord by the way that Jesus folded a napkin. Cleopas and his friend, as they walked to Emmaus and a stranger walked by their side. Cleopas recognized the living Lord by the way that He said the blessing in the breaking of bread. Jesus had a way of saying grace at the table. And Cleopas recognized Him by the way that He said the blessing. Thomas, the doubting apostle, recognized Him by the scars in His hands and in His side. And in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, when our Lord suddenly appeared to His apostles, they were affrighted, thinking they were seeing a spirit. But our Lord said, "Don't be afraid. A spirit hath not flesh and blood, such as ye see me have." And He said, "Come, handle me, and see that it is I myself." And then to add to the affirmation, He is still the same. He said, "Have you here anything to eat?" And they gave Him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And our Lord did eat before them. The same Lord Jesus, the same. And when He introduced Himself to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, our Lord said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth." The same Lord Jesus. My sweet people, all of this is to avow and to affirm and to assure to us that death makes no difference in us. We just exchange these old, corrupting bodies for a new and a resurrected body created by the omnipotent hands of God, but you'll still be the same. You'll be you, and I'll be I, and I'll know you, and you'll know me. 10,000 times am I asked, Pastor, will we know each other in heaven? When we stand by an open grave and look up to the eternal sky, will we be together in heaven? That's why the infallible 40 days, it was the same Lord Jesus. And you'll be the same. Only difference, we won't be sinners. And we won't be culpable. And we won't be guilty. And we won't be condemned. And we won't be sick, and we won't grow old, and we won't die. But we'll be like our Lord. You'll be like you forever and ever. May I add one final word? It's that same Lord Jesus who will be receiving us into glory on the day of our great pilgrimage in this earth is done. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Waiting for me at the gate of heaven is that same loving, compassionate Lord Jesus. He'll be the first one we'll see. He'll be the one who greets us and welcomes us as we walk through those pearly gates into the city of God. Oh Lord, what a gospel, and what a promise, and what a triumph that the end of this life is not in the dust of the grave, but the end is in the triumph of our Savior in heaven, with whom we shall live and reign forever and ever and ever. O God, O Christ, blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going to sing us a hymn, and while we sing the song of appeal, a family you coming into the fellowship of our wonderful church, a couple you dedicating your house and home to the Lord Jesus, a one somebody you, giving your heart and faith to our precious Lord. On the first note of the first stanza, come and welcome. Down one of these stairways from the balcony, down one of these aisles on the lower floor, as the Spirit of God shall press the appeal to your heart, make the decision now. And on the first note of the first stanza, come. Welcome. May the angels attend you in the way, and God bless as you answer with your life while we stand and while we sing.